it on. But you can't edit it.
Good afternoon. Today I'm here at Raven Landing. This is Kelly Hughes, and I'm interviewing Ag Jackson. And it is Thursday, April 27th, 2017. And we're here at Ag's Place at Raven Landing in Fairbanks on a beautiful sunny day. And I want to thank you for letting us interview you today, Ag, and listen to your story. Let's start with, can you tell us where and when you were born, or were you born?
I was born in Lake Village, Arkansas, a small cotton raisin town.
And what year were you born? What was your
1935.
So
born on a cotton plantation.
Oh, fun. So you grew up in Arkansas?
Yeah, grew up in Arkansas, but in central Arkansas.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your parents or your ancestors?
They were all wonderful. Grandparents all lived in Mississippi. They all came to Arkansas when my parents came to Arkansas. They lived right next door to each other in Arkansas, so that was fun.
Yeah, so you always got to be around relatives, right?
Yes, and that's about it.
What brought you to Alaska?
My husband was in construction. I had just finished a three-year grant to get my master's in special education. And back then, this was in the late 60s, special ed was just coming into the forefront in Arkansas, you know. And so he had always wanted to come. So we said, well, why not? And he came up in 1970 and worked in the summer and met people and saw the small town friendly atmosphere. And he said, we're going back. Well, the grandparents just said, you know, sure you are. So then, 1971, he left Arkansas and came up here again. Found us a house, beautiful location over on Hilton Avenue, right across from the ball fields, right across from the gold panners. You know, the kids could roam around. That was when kids could roam around. You know, they would roam around Alaska land, and they would roam around the ball fields. They all played baseball, and it was just a wonderful place to live and to raise kids.
So you had your kids. So when you said the grandparents said, sure, you're going, you had kids by then.
Yeah. We came up, they were 10, 8, and almost 5. Four.
So boys, girls?
Two boys, born in 61, 62, and 60, the girl born in 67. Finally got my little girl.
Oh, okay. Let's see. So you did you get your master's in Arkansas?
Yes. That was a three-year program, and I couldn't, we talked about coming up in 70, but I couldn't go. I had one more year in this grant that I had to go out to schools in the central Arkansas and help them set up a special ed classroom. That was my third year of the three-year grant. You know, so I had to stay home and do that. So that's what I...
So back in those days, getting a master's was a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten my bachelor's in 1956 from the same school. Mm-hmm. And so then I got my master's in, let me see, 68 or 69. Yeah, 69.
And also, like you say, in special ed, because that wasn't always recognized, right?
No, that was, as I said, in the forefront. And also, we worked with disadvantaged kids and helped the schools work with them. And then the special ed also.
And so your husband was in construction.
Yeah. He was a masonry contractor. And things were not so well at that time. You know, it was kind of a downturn. So we just said, well, let's go, you know.
Oh, okay. So in Arkansas, the things were like, but here, that was about the pipeline.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that was another reason, you know, for him to come. He never worked on the pipeline. He had a chance to and stay in town, but it was 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. And he said, I've got a family. I just can't do that.
Right. So who did he work for?
He finally set up his own company. It took him 2 or 3 years, but he worked for just different general contractors. And he was in concrete and he was in block, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was no brick up here. That's what he had in Conway, Arkansas. That's where we came from. Well, we really came from Toadsuck. That's a good story. But he had a brick company, you know, a masonry brick company in Arkansas. So when he came up here, he had to kind of change course.
Because we don't have that.
Yeah, and he went to concrete, you know, slabs, driveways, that kind of thing. Oh. And then he did some commercial buildings.
Okay. So then you taught. No, what did you do when
I didn't
you were
teach.
Here?
I didn't teach the first year, 71, 72 school year. I did not teach. I had a chance to, but it was at Allison. And my husband said, no, you're not going to drive that far. And so I substituted. And I got my foot in the door. And I also got familiar with all the schools. You know, I substituted in most of them. Yeah. And then I substituted quite a bit at Ryan because there was just a lot of absentee of the two teachers that were there. And so they called and said, would you come to Ryan next year? Because they're both leaving. They were just there 1 year. And when you deal with middle school or junior high kids in special ed, it's interesting. You've got special ed, you've got the hormones, but it's fun, yeah.
So you had to, so you would take the kid, like the kids that were at the school, but they weren't in the classroom, right? Because they were needed to go to like another area, right?
Yeah. Back then you had a special ed room, there were two of us. And they stayed with us just about all day. I had one or two a year could go out for a few things, you know, one class a day. But we had to pick and choose very carefully what teachers and, you know.
So you actually, did you teach them? I mean, you had to teach them like?
I taught English, social studies, business. We had recreation. We had a home management. I took the girls, and the man took the boys and taught them woodwork, things like that. And he taught math and science.
Wow, and you had them all day. That'd be a busy day.
Yeah. And so you'd have them, they would just stay in your room. I mean, you know, they would go out in the hall, but they, you know. But that's the way it was. We didn't have the inclusion. I don't know what they call it, but back then,
right?
They just stayed with us, and that's the way it was. As when I retired in '88, it was still basically they stayed with us.
Right. And now maybe they integrate them. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So tell me the story that you were talking about where you were just saying that.
We moved here from a town in central Arkansas, Conway, Arkansas. Had three schools. The State Teachers College, which is where I went, which is now University of Central Arkansas. The town, when we were in college, had 8,000, and I just got my alum book yesterday, and the town now has 58,000.
Wow.
But it has become a bedroom community for Little Rock, and just for many reasons. But anyway, there was a settlement out from Conway on the river, and it was called Toad, T-O-A-D, Toadsuck Ferry. And that's where we all went for picnics and parties or, you know, whatever. And there's a big story behind it, but I won't go into all that detail. But I was playing cards with your mother and a bunch the first, you know, few months I was here, and Clarice was playing with us. And I said something about, I'm from Totsuck, Arkansas. Well, she didn't believe me, so she got on her computer, her little phone, and Googled it, and sure enough, it came up. Well, she couldn't believe it. So I tell people that I'm from Totsuck, Arkansas, but it's really just, they built a bridge out there now. There's not even a ferry. Uh-huh. It's big time now. Yeah. So that's my story about Totsuck.
So what, tell me a few of your fondest memories.
Gosh, well, of course, meeting the man of my dreams in college, you know, and marrying him in 56. And I started college when I was 16. And I couldn't go. Mother and Daddy said, you can go. There was a college in Little Rock. But they said, no, you know, you can go 30 miles from home. And this Conway is 30 miles from Little Rock, you know. So I got to go, you know. And they had a freshman dorm. So, you know, I was a freshman girls, all girls dorm, of course. And so I started at 16. And then I was 17 the next month, you know. But that was pretty interesting, you know, to start college at 16.
Right. So how did you do that? I mean, so did you graduate then high school?
Oh, in elementary school, I skipped part of two different grades, you know. I always said it was because I was so ornery that they skipped me, but I just was a good reader and did other things well, so they just, back then, they did that occasionally. You know, you could move up, you know, a semester.
So basically, I mean, you graduated like 2 years?
No, just 1 year, really.
Okay.
Yeah. I skipped part of the second grade and part of the fifth grade.
Okay.
And,
So you went away to college and you became like really 17, close to.
Yeah, and we're back on fondest memories and meeting my husband, marrying my husband, having my three children, of course. Those are fondest memories. And just enjoying life and having so much fun being married to the man that I was married to.
So yeah. How long were you married to Truman?
55 years.
Wow.
He passed away from leukemia in 2012, but we had him for 8 years after he was diagnosed, so, you know, that was good.
Yeah.
But I have very few regrets in my life, but one regret, and I hope I can get through this, is that I moved here and I made 100 new friends when they opened building 4, really, you know, 60 new friends
yeah.
that I, you know, got to know for real well. And my regret is, number one, that Truman never got to meet my 60 new friends. But the bigger regret is that they never got to know my wonderful husband and how nice he was.
Right.
So that's...
But it's through you.
Yeah. Oh, I talk about him all the time. You know.
So they probably... So probably do know him.
They're probably tired of hearing about it.
I doubt they're tired of it. So what made you come to Raven Landing?
Well, I was in on it from the very beginning.
Really?
You know, they started talking about it, and I didn't know Karen except by name. And I don't think I knew any of the founders, Marianne and Arlene. But, I knew Marianne Einiger. That's who I met. She was in on it. And, I just heard about it, and it was going to be not rooms, but what do you rent when you go to Hawaii?
A condo.
There were going to be condos at first, and then that got way too expensive, so they had to back up and start all over from square one. Yeah. So I kept my name on the list, all this time. And every time they would have an adjustment or you had to put some more money down, I would do it, but then I would get it back, you know. And then I considered moving here before Truman passed away. But we decided that wasn't the best thing. And we were very comfortable where we were. And even though we had stairs, we had a chairlift. And, you know, everything was fixed fine. And so 2012, the spring or summer, my daughter Paige and I talked about it, and we came over here. And building one was open, and building two was just opening. And they showed us, I wanted a one bedroom. I wanted the third floor, and I wanted south facing. Not being particular, am I? But that's what I would like to have. You know? So I looked at one bedrooms. I looked at two bedrooms. And I was very pleased with what I saw. But Paige and I went home and we decided, I said, well, let me just stay in this big house. It was a big house. I had to heat 2,100 square feet of garage. Okay. It even had a half a basketball court in it. It was my son's house that we bought when we moved back from Maui. And that's another story, too. I'm trying to hurry.
No.
But
you're fine.
I decided that I would stay in the big house to see if I could afford it. You know, and see how I did. Well, you know, I went out to lunch with friends, and I went to some club meetings. And I wasn't unhappy or, you know, lonely or anything. I stayed just as busy as I wanted to. And that first year after your husband passes away is kind of busy with paperwork. So I really didn't have time, you know. And so then... It's real funny. Paige and I were sitting at the dining room table in the big house, and we were talking about coming over here and doing another tour and maybe signing up. And Susan Motter called, and she said, I have a one-bedroom apartment on the third floor. Would you be interested in looking at it? And we had just been talking about it 30 minutes before. And I said, we'll be there in 15 minutes. So we came over here, and it was this very apartment that we're sitting in right now. And the woman that was in it was going to move to Sitka Pioneer Home to be with family down there. So I went down to Susan's office, and I said, let's get the paperwork going. Yeah. So we did, and that was probably in May. And then I was going to rent my house. So I moved in. The movers moved me in here July the 11th. I started paying rent July 1. And we moved a few things in.
2012?
No, 13.
Okay.
The whole year after.
Okay.
And so I moved in July, and I've been here ever since. And I love it. I just can't believe how... You know, wonderful this place is. I mean, I can believe it, but yeah. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's just right for me. And see, I have three children in town, three grandchildren. My daughter is my rock, but daughters are different from my sons. Sons do a lot, but I can depend on Paige to do just about anything and everything. And she moved, you know, we had the movers. She moved everything else in. Her husband hung the pictures. She bought all the stuff for the kitchen. She bought all the stuff for the bathroom, you know. And I was set up, and except I've got boxes that I still haven't unpacked. And it says in the policies that you need to be unpacked by a month. I shouldn't be saying this. But I haven't finished unpacking. But it's things like photographs and yearbooks and, you know, it takes a while.
Yeah.
And I'm just not interested. I've got too much to do here, you know.
Yeah.
I play bridge. I play Phase 10. I sing in the choir. I'm in the chime choir. And, you know, I'm on the resident council. So I stay just as busy. And I can say no. You know, I learned to say no, that I can't do that, or I'm just, right now, I'm not interested.
Yeah. So you sold your big house.
No, still got a good renter in it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm considering selling it when this renter goes, whenever they go, you know.
So, you said you had a story. So, now you were in Maui.
Oh, after I retired in 88.
Okay.
We had never been to Hawaii. Everybody used to go to Hawaii. Right. And that's all you'd hear at Christmas or in spring break. We're going to Hawaii. And for some reason, we never went. So, in 86, while Truman was in Arkansas, he went outside in the winter for like 3 weeks or a month to see all the relatives. The kids and I would go out in the summer, you know, to see all the grandparents and stuff. But in 86, at Christmas, we received 3 Christmas cards from Army friends or college friends or longtime friends, and they had all 3 been to Maui, and that was their highlight of their... I said, okay. Truman was in Arkansas. I went down to the travel agent, and I said, book me for spring break. Well, that was when you had to get a rent car a year ahead, you know. But she was able to get us a good deal. And we went the spring break of 86. And, of course, knowing Truman, he came home and he said, okay, we're going to move. We're going to go. And, again, the family said, you're not going to go to Hawaii. But we did. We moved to Maui. And long story short, we had the ideal situation. We were caretakers of a property that was right on the ocean. A big 4-bedroom, flat, concrete floor, wonderful beach house. The whole strip. Yeah. And they built a carport, 2 carports and 2 garages, and put a big apartment up over it. And they just wanted someone to live there, so it looked like it was lived in. But we didn't have to do anything. They came the month of November and the month of February and stayed for a month. Wonderful couple, brilliant people. The name of their place was Holly Lalia. And I'm talking way too much. But he had named it after the House of Lily because he marketed the defibrillator. And he had sold that to Lily Pharmaceuticals, and they had bought the house. So we were just the people that lived there. But they had a gardener. They had a full-time of everything, you know. And it was just wonderful. I mean, they let us use the house when our son came over there to get married. They let us use the house when family came over, you know. And we could walk 50 feet and be at one of the best beaches on Maui. And then our little strip of beach got discovered by Hollywood and dot-comers. One man bought up 3 houses down the street and built a 2,300 square foot house. Man bought a house on either side of us and built these Hollywood type houses, you know. And then one man built a house right down from us. He owned 30 restaurants in Tokyo. They came once a year. It stayed furnished down to the dishes and the napkin rings. You know, that's the way. They came once a year, didn't speak English. We just kind of nodded at each other. But anyway, that was our trip. And we stayed 12 years in Maui. And it got real crowded. I mean, you know, the traffic was worse. It was more expensive. And we had a wonderful little church that we went to there that we loved. There's a picture of it right there from the refrigerator. And we hated to leave Maui and the friends. We made many, many good friends over there. But we were beginning to have grandchildren up here and one in Seattle. And I was going back and forth between Maui and Seattle quite a bit. This was Morgan.
Oh.
Yeah, she was the first one. And we had been married 41 years before we got our first one. Well, I was never one to say, oh, when am I going to have grandchildren? When am I going to be a grandmother? But when they told us, my word, there's never been a grandchild born since. You know, that was just the way I, you know. So that's how we got to Maui. And then we came back in 2000.
So then you had Morgan. So Morgan is your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. And we
they live here.
Yes, and my son Jeff lives here. He has a daughter, Christine, and a son, Brandon. They live there at Hutch. Morgan graduated from Monroe last year. And so that's... way too long.
What is your, so the final question, unless you have other, if you can think of any other stories, that's yep. okay to say them if you want to share yeah. them. But what, so what is, so far, what, between birth and now, what has been your favorite age? And why?
Oh, I don't mind the age that I am now and that I've been, you know, since I've been here. But I do believe that being a teenager and a young lady in the 50s, the decade of the 50s, that was it. I mean, we had good music, decent music, but we had rock and roll came in, Elvis, you know. And that was when I was in high school and college and getting married. And the 50s was just by far the best decade for anybody to grow up in. So that's what I would have to say. I do love 70s music better than 50s music. But still, 50s is by far. Yeah.
So is there any other parts you want to share that maybe I haven't asked?
Oh, I can tell some stories and some jokes. And Karen can always, she says she can always tell what table I'm sitting at in the dining room. Because there's always laughter, you know. And, you know, she said, "Well, Ags told another joke." So, I'm very happy with my life. I wish things had been different, but you know, we all go through that. But I'm just very happy, and all my kids are doing well. And,
all right. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, and we look forward to being able to read about it one day in the book in the library.
Thank you.
Thank you.